Ephesians 5, 15 through 17 in the Amplified. Look carefully then how you walk. Live purposefully. Walk or live purposefully and worthily and accurately. Notice that. Two words, three words, purposefully, worthily, and accurately. I look at that and I see, well, if I live purposefully, which of course means choosing direction on purpose. You know what I mean? Living purposefully, it means you won't just go live by whatever circumstances come up. You know what I mean? So, but you're choosing direction on purpose. You're not just letting circumstances push you in directions. If you analyze, I said this before, if you analyze a lot of believers' lives and ask them, why are you in this relationship? Why are you working here? Why are you living in this city? Why? So you do all these things. And a lot of times it's circumstantial things that put them there. Yeah. It wasn't something that they were led to do.
Right.
I don't mean, you know, I don't mean an angel choir or something. I just mean they had peace about it. So God wants us to not be pushed in directions, but to choose direction on purpose. Otherwise, he said, from that third word there, we will not live accurately. In other words, we'll be off course. It's not hard to get off course. You know what I mean? It's easy. Just follow your mind or what you think. I know that's hard, but straight maybe is a better word. But anyway, live purposefully, worthily and accurately, not as unwise or the unwise and witless, but as wise, sensible, intelligent people. Making the very most of the time, buying up each opportunity. Because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be vague and thoughtless and foolish, but understanding and grasping what the will of the Lord is. So when he says, don't be unwise up there, he's talking in verse number 15, I should say, back up there. We live purposefully, not as the unwise and witless. He's talking about concerning the plan of God. Did you notice that? The last verse, verse 17, understanding and grasping what the will of the Lord is. So when he says don't be unwise about what God's will is.
Amen.
What's his plan for your life?
Amen.
Well, I don't know. Well, God says don't be unknowing, don't be unwise. Know what it is. Why? So you can choose that direction on purpose.
Yes.
Isn't that right?
Yes.
So you're living by the will of the Lord, not by what come just circumstances that arise. You know, like, well, I got a better job opportunity in another city. Well, what did the Lord say about it?
Come on.
What did the Lord say about it? Sometimes people are following natural financial things rather than the leading of the Spirit. If finances are leading us, then finances are Lord. If we're following Jesus, Jesus is Lord. There's more to making Jesus Lord than just saying you're Lord.
That's right.
That means he gets to have a say in the decisions we make. So anyway, if we choose to live just by whims or circumstances or just the desires of our flesh or our own, something we've rationed out, then we will live inaccurately. We're getting to prayer here in a moment, so don't unhook from me. So to live by faith means you live on purpose. You live on purpose. Sometimes things come up, people say, well, I guess I won't be able to get to church tonight. Well, is that living on purpose?
No, not at all.
You know, well, I had a hangnail, had to cut it out or something, you know. People.
Seriously.
If the devil can push you with anything, he'll use it over and over and over and over again. You need to show him that that doesn't work. You need to show him that doesn't work. Say it out loud. Living by faith means I live on purpose. I'm living by decisions. I'm living by the Spirit of God, what he said, what he directed me, what I have peace about. Not based on, well, circumstances say I can do this. We don't live by open doors and closed doors. But you understand what we're talking about? So, praise the Lord. Are you still glad? So we're being told when it comes to the will of the Lord, we're to be people of understanding. Some people maybe don't go certain directions on purpose because they don't even know what the Lord's saying.
Right, right, right.
But he said here to be people of understanding.
That's right.
In other words, we're to be people who get it.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
That's a good word. I mean,
yes.
Two words, but get it.
Yes. Yes.
What's God saying to you to do? Get it. Get. Okay. Find out what he's saying to you to do. It's really not hard. A lot of Christians think it's difficult and, you know, you got to pray for 7 hours or something. I mean, praying in the Holy Ghost just a few moments will help you turn to where the Spirit of God is leading you, and you can know pretty quickly what to do. I don't know if you've ever done this. This has happened to me more and more all the time lately. I think, man, I need to spend a couple hours praying about something. And I get quiet, and as soon as I get quiet, get my mind turned off and look down in here, right there's my answer.
Right there.
Wow, praise the Lord. I spent a few minutes talking to the Lord about it, see if there's anything else he wants to say.
Yeah.
Nope, okay, go.
Amen.
So let's talk about that. Why are we talking about this? Because we're praying about the plan of God. So Ephesians in the 16th verse here, it says redeeming the time. Right in the middle of this, he says redeeming the time because the days are evil. In other words, if a person's not living accurately according to the plan, they're going to waste a lot of time. They're going to waste. They'll spend a lot of time going the wrong direction. And then whenever they finally decide this isn't working out, I don't think I want to disobey God like this or you know, be unwise like this, then they got to turn around and come back, and that takes time. Now, thank God for mercy. Aren't you glad for mercy? How many of you know we have all needed mercy in this area? And we've all gotten behind maybe because we've you know, gotten off course or we weren't praying. We didn't have a prayer life that sought God about what direction to go. We just kind of, you know, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, or, you know, guessing and going. You know, just sort of, well, just seems, you know, this door's open. So, well, we don't go by open doors. We go by what we have peace about. Anyway, what this does is it slows down the plan. Doing our, you know, missing the mark, doing our own thing for a while, it just slows down. It just robs us of time, robs us of time. The devil loves for people to waste time. He loves you to waste time. Because all the time you're doing whatever you're doing, wasting time, that's time that you are losing that you could be advancing on the plan. Amen. Now, here's some reasons. Well, let me say this before we go to that. You can get behind in the will of God in your life, behind where you should be. Remember, Paul said to the Hebrews, he said, when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again. That's in Hebrews, what is that, 5, or I believe 5. But he's talking about when for the time, the amount of time that had passed, they should have been further along. Now, I don't mean, I'm not talking about living under, the devil will tell every person who listens to him, you should be further along. Yeah. Well, of course. But we can't live under condemnation about this.
That's right.
We got to deal with that before we go any further. Pastor Nancy dealt with it last night. I mean, I just, So I'm not talking about living under condemnation. I'm just talking about knowing in your spirit something that you should be taking steps in and you're not, or that's not progressing like it should, and you know in your spirit. The Lord will talk to you sometimes, say, hey, you're getting behind in this. You're going to have to cut out some things and give more time to that or whatever. Amen. But if you can get behind, you can get caught up. You ever gotten behind on your schedule for the day? You know, you're running a half hour late to every appointment or whatever. You're getting, but or financially, we probably all of us have gotten behind. I've lived for months at a time, and not recently, but you know, just bumping up against 30 days. Pastor, you? There was a time I didn't know how to live by faith that much. But see, I got caught up.
Way caught up.
But if you can get behind in something in the natural and get caught up, you can get caught up on spiritual things that you might be behind on. Now, how do you? And what is that? That's acceleration. You might have been losing time, but you can accelerate and regain that time. Well, you can't regain time in the natural because time is time. It's just tick, tick, tick. But there is something he said here, redeeming the time because the days are here. There must be something you can do.
Yeah.
And I tell you what it is from the previous, from the verse 16, 17 here. But then verse 18, he goes right into be not drunk with wine, be continually filled with the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
So that's how you redeem the time. You stay full of the Holy Spirit.
Yes. Yeah.
Amen.
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 In the realm of the Spirit, there is a realm of the Spirit.
Yes.
Many Christians haven't thought much about that. You know, like God, where's God? Is he in Chicago? I mean, where's his throne? I mean, he's got a throne. He's got a throne room. Is it in Chicago? Is it in L.A.? It's not too close to Chicago, I'll guarantee you that. But where is it? Where is it? It's not in the natural realm. It's in another realm, an unseen realm. Faith is walking by what you know is in the unseen realm. That's what faith is for. Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. There are things not seen. We walk by faith, not by sight. Isn't that right? We look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. There are things that are not seen. That's what faith is all about. And that realm is not a part of natural creation.
No, it's not.
It's in another realm. It's not a part of natural creation, which natural creation has natural laws, and it has certain things that are involved in it. And one of those things is time.
That's right.
Yes. Time is of the natural realm.
That's right.
It's not of the realm of the Spirit.
Sure. Yeah.
That's right. You got to get a hold of that. That's what I said on Sunday.
Yeah.
That's why sometimes you're praying, and it just seems like you're praying about something that's going to happen by the end of the day.
Yeah.
And because in the Spirit, everything seems like it's right now.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean it's all going to happen in the natural by the end of the day. You might have prayed it out in the Spirit, and it'll surely come to pass.
Yes.
But you were in another realm, not the realm of time.
Yes.
Now, so... the Lord said to me one time, things are hastened by being in the Spirit, not by hurrying. There's a lot of frantic people that think they're getting a lot done. Whenever it comes to the plan of God, they're not progressing much at all. But a lot of people are impressed with their activity. They're active, they're busy. I mean, things are flying and people are going and doing things, but that doesn't equal making progress on the plan. Besides, the Bible says, lay aside the weights and run. You can run, but run in the wrong direction. And you're not gaining any time. You're not redeeming any time. You're wasting time. You ever thought about that? So things are hastened by being in the Spirit. Now, that's what that's what Romans 8 is talking about when it says over there in verse 26, 27, praying always with all prayer. That's Ephesians. Go to Romans 8. It says, likewise, the Spirit helps our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Now notice here's the Spirit helping us pray.
Yes, sir.
This is not praying just out of our understanding of the Word. That there's we should be praying out of our understanding of the Word. But here's praying in the Spirit. And so he said, likewise the Spirit helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So this is praying under the anointing and unction of the Holy Spirit. And he says, he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit. But notice that term, the mind of the Spirit. Yep. Because he makes intercession for the saints. Now get this. According to the will of God.
Yes, sir.
So praying in the Spirit, one of the things you're doing praying in the Spirit is praying out the will of God.
Yes. That's right.
What do you mean pray out? Well, he said you don't know what you're praying there as you ought. Right? So, but you're praying about the will of God, although you don't know any details of what you're praying about. But why does God have you praying about it if he doesn't want to reveal it? That's why you're praying about it. You're praying it so that it can be revealed, so that you can act on it by faith on purpose.
Yes.
Are you still here? And so that's what... That is done in the Spirit. That's called praying under the anointing of the Spirit.
Yes.
Ephesians 5:18 calls it in the Spirit.
Yes.
In the Spirit. And that's where things are sped up.
That's
right.
You understand?
Yes.
The will of God can be delayed or sluggish in its progress because people aren't going into the Spirit, laying hold of it, praying it out, finding out what it is, getting knowledge of it, and then moving with it. Can you see what we're talking about? Now, that's what Jesus did. Look at a couple of references. Luke 6, 12 through 13. Luke 6, 12 through 13. I want you to just see how Jesus operated here. Luke 6. We won't teach all night. We're going to just lay a foundation here. Why are we going to do what we're going to do? We're going to pray about some things concerning the plan for this ministry, for us together. We're all in this together.
Yes, we are.
Thank God for that.
Amen.
But we're going to just lay a foundation here. Notice Luke 6, 12 through 13. Came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. I'd have loved to have been over by behind a rock watching that. He's up in a mountain. And then when it was day, he called unto him his disciples. Of them he chose 12, whom he had named apostles. And it names them. And you can see this in Mark's account and so forth. There's different accounts of it. But I want you to see, he prayed, and then he came down and he said, okay, here's the ones I'm choosing to be my apostles. Wonder why he came down that morning and did that. He got direction in prayer. He got direction in prayer. He saw that. Remember he said, you read John 5, John 8, John 12, John 15. There's different verses in all those chapters where Jesus said something of this. It says it different in different places. But he says something like, I just do what I see my Father do. I just say what I hear my Father say. So he came down from prayer. Where did he see it? Where did he hear it? He heard it in fellowship with his Father. He was so good at that, that John wrote at the end, there was so much happening because of it, that John wrote in John 21, he said, if all the books in the world were written, they could not contain all the things he had done. I heard somebody say recently that theologians agree that if you read the four Gospels, of the accounts of different happenings that are recorded in the four Gospels, all of those events they occurred within, it's hard to tell sometimes, but within 20, I believe they said 22 to 50 days. And some of those events were only a few moments in a day. But he ministered 3.5 years.
Yes, he did.
Are you still here with me? He ministered 3.5 years.
Come on.
Oh, my.
Yes. Yeah, come on.
I have it written down here somewhere how many days that is. Is that 1,277, I believe. Almost 1,277 days. Is that right? I believe that's right. Well, if you just take the medium there between 20, 22 and 50, somewhere in there like 35 or something like that, and say, well, let's just say the middle there is maybe 35, and you subtract that from 1,277. You got 1,200 and whatever. Where's my math guy? He's got a calculator out. cheating.
I'm using my resources.
1,277 minus 35. 1,242. So 1,242 days we don't have any record of. And of the days we have record of, some of them was only an event for just a few minutes. So what do we know? We know a lot more happened. John said that, but you couldn't fill them. You couldn't, you know, write enough books. So what am I saying? Jesus had... he had a lot going on. I mean, I'm not talking about just frantic activity, you know. I'm talking about fruit being born, people being helped. How on earth did he produce that much fruit? He shows us whenever he shows us his prayer life and him just getting what he heard the Father say, just come out and say it. Just get what he heard, what he saw the Father do, just come out and do it.
Come on.
Well, now that was Jesus. Well, do you know that the will of God, you know, because you could read that and you can see that he's operating in the spirit of seeing and knowing.
Right.
He would see it or know it and come out and act on it.
Right.
And people could apply that and say, well, that's just for the prophet's office. Jesus stood in all fivefold ministry offices, but that maybe is just the prophet's office. Well, the knowing the will of God is not just for the prophet.
No, it's not.
It's for all of us. And he wants us all to know.
That's right.
Or see or get understanding.
That's right.
Poke your neighbor and say, he wants us to get it. Amen. So that's just one account. He got that in prayer. How many of you know prayer is supposed to be a dialogue then?
Yeah.
Prayer for God was, or for Jesus wasn't just talking to God. It was God talking to him.
He
there was a two-way. Remember in Luke, whatever chapter, Luke 11 maybe, they said they saw him pray. And when he finished, they said, teach us to pray. Something about his prayer life impressed them.
Oh, yes.
It's different than the rabbis down at the synagogue. He act like he's talking to somebody. And he act like he's hearing what they're saying. Mark chapter number 1, look at verse 35. Mark chapter 1, verse 35 through 39. Praise the Lord. Can this be you?
Yes, sir.
As he is, so are we in this world.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Mark 1, 35 through 39, in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. You ought to just go through the Gospels and study Jesus' prayer life. He was constantly doing this. We'll even read a verse about it in a minute. And Simon and they that were with him followed him after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. He said unto them, let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. Yeah. Amen. Where did he get that direction?
Yeah.
If you read this, they were having a real good meeting where they were.
Yeah.
Things are happening.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you don't want to shut down a good meeting.
Right.
But in prayer, he got direction. Okay, take this to the next town.
Yeah.
Isn't that right?
Yes, sir.
He just did what he saw his father do.
Yeah.
Look at, we won't read this one. Mark, I'll just give it to you. Matthew 14, 23 through quite a number of verses after that. Starts in Matthew 14, 23. Jesus prayed. He spent the night praying. And he, after that, he came down and walked on the water.
Yeah.
He came down to see if the disciples had left yet or not. They're already gone.
Yeah.
Maybe he could see them, maybe way out there, maybe. And he thought, well, you know, just go out and I'll go join the boat.
Yes. Right.
I've had a few prayer times I thought I could maybe walk on water, I'm telling you. But he actually did it. Where'd that kind of power get in manifestation? He had just prayed under that anointing. You ought to read in the, this is Luke 5:16. I'll read this, but then Luke, write down New King James Version. Because the New King James Version, I don't have it in front of me tonight, but you just write this down. It adds a little something different to it. Luke 5:16, he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. Mm-hmm. Like I said, this is something quite often happened. But notice it says he withdrew himself and prayed. The New King James says he did this often.
Yes. Yes.
He did this often.
Yes.
Isn't that good?
Yes.
What was he doing? He's just praying until he heard and saw what the next step was.
Yes.
That's a walk of faith.
Yes.
Faith seeks God. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. He cometh to God must believe that he is. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
Yes.
Faith believes it can get an answer and find out what to do.
Yes.
People say, I don't know what to do. Well, have you gone and sought God about what to do? Have you spent time praying, yielding to the Holy Ghost, and then committed and consecrated yourself that whenever I find out, I'm going to go that direction on purpose so that I'm accurate. Your feelings won't tell you that you want to go that direction, but this is how real living really happens.
Yes.
The Bible talks about watching in prayer. I got to speed this up here. So what is watching in prayer? It often talks about watching and praying. Watching in prayer is watching over a plan, the plan of God, and that you've been made a steward of, and making sure it comes to pass. Well, I thought it's up to God. Well, remember the Bible said we're laborers together with God. We're laborers together. God doesn't do these things by himself. He taps somebody and says, hey, I got something I want you to do. Hey, there's a further plan for your ministry here. You know what I'm talking about? Hey. You know what I'm talking about? And then that he puts it in our...
Yeah.
It's like, remember we talked about the quarterback passing the ball?
Yeah.
It's like he puts that in our hands.
Yes, sir.
And then what we do with it determines if anything comes to pass.
Yeah.
Right. Have you ever thought about we actually have authority over the will of God?
Yeah.
God can will it and we don't want it and it won't come to pass. Well, what should we do then? There's three main reasons what God wants to come to pass. Let me say it this way. Three reasons a lack of prayer delays what God wants to come to pass. Delays it from coming to pass. One is a lack of prayer. Because number one reason that a lack of prayer keeps things from coming to pass, because a lack of prayer keeps people from knowing what the plan is.
That's right.
He said, don't do that. He said, don't be unwise. Don't be vague and thoughtless. Know what God's plan is.
Yes.
If you were to, if I were just to call you up and say, hey, how you doing? Good. Hey, what's God saying to you? What's God's plan for your life?
Yeah.
Your answer should not be, to be a believer, that's vague. Amen. That's vague.
Yeah.
I said that's vague.
That is vague.
Yes.
Your answer ought to be, how much time you got?
Yeah.
God's been dealing with me. I got things in my heart. Some of you are looking at me real funny. So that's one reason, is because of prayerlessness. If you pray more, you know more. Amen. Hallelujah. A lot of people are spectators to God, God and somebody else walking out a plan.
Right. Come on now. All right.
You need to, a person of prayer becomes a participator.
Yes, we are.
They're involved. They got their own part to do.
That's right.
And they're participating, and because of their supply, the plan is moving forward. Amen. Hallelujah. Mental Christians don't have a clue what the Spirit's saying. And those are available a dime a dozen. I know. It was nice. I said it sweet. So, Ephesians here says, look carefully then how you walk, live purposefully. You have to know what the will of God is to be able to do that.
Yes.
Isn't that right?
Yes.
So we could take a lot of time on that, but for time's sake, and there's a lot of things I would like to say, but here's another reason why not being prayerful, I don't want to say it delays the plan of God. It's not like we are, you know, malicious against the plan of God, but let's put it this way. It allows the enemy to delay the plan of God.
Yeah.
Go to two verses. Well, Philippians 1:19, Paul said, I know this will turn to my salvation. He's in jail. He's already saved. He's talking about being delivered from jail. Salvation is translated many different ways in the New Testament. Turn to my deliverance from jail through your prayers, Philippians 1:19, through your prayers and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. I read that probably 20 years ago. I looked up and. I know it's a weird word to look up, but I had a prompting. And it could have been translated even. I actually heard a man I would consider a Greek scholar the other day say the exact same thing. So I felt pretty good that, you know, I had seen that. But maybe before him, you know, maybe. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Philippians, so we can read it that way. Philippians 1:19. I know this will turn to my salvation. I'll get out of jail through your prayer, even the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. In other words, prayer makes the supply of the Spirit.
Yes.
Well, James 5:14-15 says same thing, or 16, makes tremendous power available.
That's right.
Well, you put that together with 1 Thessalonians 2:18. 1 Thessalonians 2:18, Paul said, well, I would have come to you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. So why does prayerlessness allow Satan, allow the plan of God to be delayed? Because prayer makes power available to get the plan past what's resisting it. Does that make sense? Not God's power. God's not resisting his plan. The enemy in the spirit realm is trying to resist his plan. Here's one way he does it. He keeps people distracted who are supposed to be involved in that plan. They're busy about whatever they want to do when God's saying, hey, I got something for you I want you to do.
Yes, sir.
And they're just, well, I don't have time, you know. I have bought a cow. I have married a wife, you know, that kind of thing. Remember that in the Bible? You know? Hello? That doesn't mean there's nothing in the natural that we have to give our time to. It just simply means we have to have first things first. Make sure the plan of God is secured before we get to these other things. Amen. A strong anointing made available to the situation through a believer's prayer life will bust the plan of God through any resistance.
Amen.
Praise God. That's why we need to pray till the power falls. What is happening when the power falls? The anointing to bring to pass what we've been praying gets released into that plan. Woo! Praise God. Amen. All right. So a lack of prayer causes these things to be delayed because not enough power is available. The momentum of progress slows down when prayer slows down.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Here's the third reason, and then we're going to pray. Third reason that prayerlessness allows the plan to be delayed is because prayer accelerates the plan of God. I mean, entering into the Spirit in prayer accelerates the plan of God. And what I'm saying here is we're entering into the realm where there is no time. God is a spirit. He's in a realm where there is no time. He's in a realm where he can look this direction and see where you are. He can look this direction and see your future. He can look this direction and see your past.
Right.
It's different for him than it is for us. Does that make any sense? And so in the spending time in the spirit will save time in the natural. Well, I don't have time. Well, listen, the devil's deceiving you. Doing that would save you time.
Thank you.
Why? Because it would save you. You would see ways and directions not to take, which are traps of the enemy, and avoid it, which would, if you had not avoided it, you would have lost, you would have wasted a lot of time over here fixing this thing you messed up.
That's right.
Well, what if I messed a bunch of stuff up? Get in the spirit and at the realm of no time and let God accelerate you out of that thing into the plan.
Hallelujah.
When you've got God's perspective on things, you won't take roads that'll waste a lot of your time. The Lord said to me one time, make life in the spirit a priority for your faith. You ought to write this down. Make life in the spirit a priority for your faith. Then he said, you'll have my perspective on the decisions you got to make in life in the natural. That'll save you from a lot of wasted time. You want me to say that again? Make life in the spirit a priority for your faith. In other words, use your faith to live in the spirit. Now, that doesn't mean you're always praying. I mean, what I mean by praying, you're always on your knees. You know what I mean? But live conscious of God. Yeah. Make life in the spirit a priority for your faith. Then you'll have my perspective on life in the natural.
Yeah, that's good.
When you got God's perspective, you can make decisions based on how he sees things.
Right.
Which will save a lot of time.
Amen.
Oh, I like that. Praise God. You'll be able to deal with the strategies of the enemy. In the spirit, you can see things the enemy's going to try to do. And you can stop it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Pastor, this is the only church I've ever been at. Maybe, I don't know. Some people, maybe this is their testimony. Well, there's not a lot of stuff happening and problems and this and that. That's because we get over in the spirit and see it try to pop its head up. And no, you don't.
Come on.
Church sails right through it.
That's right.
And this is a safe place. Do you know that?
Yes.
It's covered with prayer and people who get into the Spirit and pray. I'm convinced the daycare has been spared of a lot of stuff. I've had people ask me, they say, ministers, I want to start a daycare. I say, if you're not going to keep it covered in prayer and do it by the Spirit, don't even think about it. Because more people, carnal, squirrely-minded people, well, anyway, I won't go there. How many of you know hindrance is one of the strategies of the enemy?
Yes.
But you got to deal with it in the Spirit.
Yes,
hallelujah.
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 So, if you can stand with me to your feet. The suddenlies in the Bible, especially I'm talking about the book of Acts. All the suddenlies in the book of Acts were a result of a time the church was in the Spirit. Sometimes praying, sometimes worshiping God in one accord. But they were in the anointing, you might say. They were in the glory, you might say. There's different ways of saying it. And suddenly. Remember Paul and Silas in that prison? They prayed and sang praises, and suddenly they got out. That's a short paraphrase. Hallelujah. Why did it happen suddenly? They got over into the realm where there was no time. And what would have taken maybe, how many of you know, you ever watch court cases? Sometimes it's months and even years for the whole court process and everything. What would normally have taken probably months at least to get them out of there happened in a suddenly. Ha ha ha. Amen. I like that. Don't you remember how that happened?
Yes.
Hallelujah. The more we pray in the Holy Ghost, the more God's plan just keeps progressing. That's something I saw whenever God spoke to me and about, being obedient, not just kind of lollygagging this year about the church plant in Kansas City. He really dealt with me. Your mindset isn't what I said. I said, it's time to gird up the loins of your mind. It's time to run. So your mindset is sort of, I'll put that off. He said, don't do that. So we've been giving ourselves to prayer. We've had people helping us pray. And I'm telling you, especially the one time we gave ourselves the most to it, that weekend was full of revelation of steps to take. And we're still taking those steps. Still, there's things we got to get in place to take the next steps. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. How much revelation do we want? Some people don't want much because, it creates responsibility.
We want it all.
I want the plan. The plan's going to give us, it's going to put responsibility on us. But listen, I'd rather be doing the plan than, maybe running around putting out fires because I'm sort of doing my own thing. And, amen.